Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, welcome back to In the Pink with me, Natalie Pinkham, and Bose, helping you stay connected. Now, thank you for those of you who've given feedback on the Trevor Nelson podcast. If you haven't listened to it, I really think you should, because not only does he reminisce and tell some great stories about his career, but he also gives a very fair and progressive view on Black Lives Matter and the racism that he's encountered throughout his career. I think he sums it up very well indeed. And yeah, I think you should have a listen if you haven't done so already. Okay, next up on In the Pink, we've got Lance Stroll. The Racing Point driver has now amassed 71 Formula One career starts, which I was actually really surprised about, because you still think of him as being so young and inexperienced. But the reality is he's not anymore. And he has got two career podiums, of course, and is currently sitting pretty in sixth place in the Drivers' Championship. We talk about the support of his family, his mum, his dad and his sister, and we talk about him shaking off that pay driver tag. We also talk about how he's relishing driving this hugely competitive car this season, and his ambitions for the future. Now, I spoke to him before the news of Sebastian Vettel being his new teammate was announced, so unfortunately we didn't get to talk about that, but I promised to ask him those questions when we catch up in Russia and some of the other races throughout the rest of the season, because it'd be really interesting to see what he thinks. I'm sure he will enjoy driving alongside a four-time world champion, learn quite a lot from him, I'm sure, but also I think they should be a pretty good fit with one another. Anyway, love to hear what you think as well. So give us your feedback. And remember, you can still win those Bose noise-cancelling headphones. More details on that coming shortly. Here he is then, Mr. Lance Stroll on In the Pink. So Lance, we are, well, you'd have to say about midway through the season so far, which is just kind of crazy when you consider everything that's gone on. And it feels as if there's a lot of promise in you and this car, but last time out certainly was a challenging time at Spa. How would you sum up the season so far in 2020 for Lance Stroll?
Yeah, well, so far, it's been a great season. We scored a lot of points, and I've really enjoyed driving this car. In the first half of the season, there's definitely some areas we need to work on. Like Spa, for example, just wasn't our strongest weekend, and Silverstone as well. That we didn't have the pace that we were expecting to have. So it looks like on some of those longer circuits, some low speed corners, looks like we have to work on our car a little bit. But then, we've had some great results in Hungary and Barcelona, a couple P4s. So sniffing a podium, which is pretty awesome. I mean, it's just great to be in a position this year with a car that's so competitive that can fight for those spots.
I know. I mean, it's testament to how far you've come that I'm saying, well, how do you feel about Spa? Because even on your most challenging weekend, you still walked away with a
ninth.
So, yeah,
I know.
Like with 2 points.
I know.
So, like, that's great. That says
I'd be celebrating with a glass of champagne on the flight home. That was this time last year,
yeah.
Finishing ninth. So yeah, I mean it's all relative, you know. This game, when you have a good car, you want to raise the bar. You want to go, you know, grab podiums and score those big points. And you know, ninth now is disappointing. It's, you know, it's not where we want to be. We don't want to just score points. We want to be up at the front. So. Good problems to have.
It really is. Okay, but I mean, it feels like this bodes well for Italy, and obviously Italy was the scene for you of that incredible qualifying when you put it in P4 in the wet and then you were promoted to the front of the grid. I remember it so well, absolutely chucking it down with rain.
Yeah.
And you just came into the pen with the biggest smile I've ever seen on your face. Just remind us the feeling of that.
It was a great day. Well, yeah, I mean, back when I was young, you know, before I had gray hairs on my head. Extremely wet. I just remember it coming down with rain, and the track was like a river at certain points during that session. I remember it was just being delayed for forever. We were waiting 2-3 hours for qualifying to start, and I didn't even think we were going to qualify that day. And to be honest, as a team, we hoped that they were going to cancel qualifying because we had such good pace in the dry that weekend. Like, we knew we would comfortably get into Q3 and hopefully put it in, you know, 8th or 9th in Q3 and go on to, you know, have a good race on Sunday. So the rain, like, you know, the rain was a bit of a question mark for us. And I actually didn't drive a Formula One car in the wet for that session. So I was kind of nervous, like, you know, we have a good car this weekend, and it suits the track, and damn, like, it's raining, you know, like, I didn't want to just throw it away. So we were all hoping it was going to get delayed and get postponed to Sunday morning. But then they gave us the green light, and I just started flowing out there. The car was hooked up all the way throughout qualifying, and I found a good rhythm very early on in qualifying, and you know, from the get go, I was right up there at the front, and it was just about putting it together at the end, and that's what I did.
So, were you as surprised as everyone that you were as competitive as you were?
Yeah. Well, conditions like that are always a bit of a mystery to how competitive you're going to be. You know, when it's raining, it's, you know, it's kind of a roll of the dice, and you never really know, you know, how the car is gonna be, and how quickly you're gonna find the rhythm, and how much confidence you're gonna have out there. Because it's all about confidence in the wet. You know, you need to find the grip, you need to find the right lines around the track that give you the confidence to attack the corners. So I just found that right away in that qualifying session. I managed to find the grip very early on. And I found the lines that were working for me, and then I was just able to put my foot down and really smash qualifying. Yeah.
On the whole, obviously that was one of only a few highlights of your time at Williams. I mean, there were obviously some great moments for you throughout that time, and obviously coming into Formula One must have been a big coup, but on the whole, here you were trying to prove your worth in Formula One in what was ultimately an underperforming car. How frustrating was that? How much did you learn as a person and a driver from that experience?
Well, it was all part of the character building process. You know, not everyone comes into Formula One and gets a top car right away. So it was a challenging year, but at the same time, we had our strong tracks in that first year, and the car wasn't all that bad everywhere we went. There were some races it was just awful, but it was like a total write-off, whereas like Monaco and Hungary, I remember it was a terrible weekend. And some, like most of the high downforce tracks with a lot of corners were just not for us, but we had a very slippery car in a straight line. So when we went to like Monza and Spa, I think Mexico is a good one for us, Baku, when I finished on the podium, we had a mega car in some of those races. So it was a bit up and down, But all in all, you know, there was still a lot of positives to take away from that season. I think it was more positive than negative. You know, if I could have signed up coming into my first year in Formula One, that I would finish on a podium, you know, start on the front row, I definitely would have. So, yeah, feels like a long time ago.
I mean, yeah.
And flies.
I guess it is in Formula One terms, isn't it?
It feels like a long time ago, but it doesn't at the same time. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Just reminisce a bit about Azerbaijan in 2017, because that was, I mean, at the time you were the second youngest driver to ever finish on the podium and the youngest ever rookie. That's a massive coup.
Yeah. It was a pretty awesome day. I was standing on that podium with a big smile. I hope there's another one around the corner one of these days. Feels like a long time ago.
Well,
I'm due for another one.
I think you are. I feel like it is edging ever closer. Yeah. But then obviously 2018 was more of a struggle. And at that point, were you sort of just treading water? Was it, you know, just trying to get through and look for other options elsewhere on the grid? How did you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't so much fun running around in 17th, 18th for most of that season. I think we only finished in the points like twice that season, maybe three times, but it was just brutal. You know, we just didn't have the pace, and the team was kind of going into a bit of a downhill spiral. And yeah, at that point it was, you know, it was kind of, it was like, how are we getting out of here? How are we, moving forward? But it was all a bit up in the air, you know. I wasn't sure at the time, what was going to happen, with Force India, Racing Point, and my father, you know, investing in the team. And to be honest, I wasn't sure at Williams, you know, where that team was headed. So maybe I would have stayed there. I don't know. But you know, I'm very grateful, and I'm glad that I'm in a team. I'm in the team where I am now, and I'm working with so many incredible people that are extremely motivated and committed to the big picture. And it's a very exciting future ahead.
I think that's something that everyone has always acknowledged about the team in its various iterations, is just how hardworking they are. They're always, you know, the phrase punching above their weight is always something associated to Force India Racing Point. A really talented group of individuals who make the best of the resources at hand. Is that your experience of what you've seen so far with them?
Absolutely. Everyone is so committed and extremely talented. And you know, we see more opportunity now than we did last year, and we want to get better. You know, we're always trying to get better, and that is the philosophy in this team. That's the mentality. Until we're winning races, it's not good enough. You know, it's not good enough. So it's an extremely exciting environment to be in, and it's very motivating every day to come to work and you know, be surrounded by such great energy.
The world continues to evolve, and the new norm isn't fully clear yet. But what does remain constant is the core message from our friends at Bose. Stay calm, stay centered, and stay connected. Communication is key in everything we do, and goes a long way to nurturing both ourselves and our relationships with others. So continue to talk about what matters to you. And don't be afraid to block out unhelpful noise, or indeed to embrace silence, because doing both can be great. Some of the ways we work will have changed forever. Embrace that. Make those new ways work for you. Shape the new norm to suit you. Feel more, do more, be more with Bose.
And it feels like a good fit for you, because again, just from talking to people behind the scenes, and something that you probably don't get enough recognition for, is how hard you work as an individual. I know your modesty will probably prevent you from agreeing, but When I look at your road to Formula One, I mean, you had a championship every year. Italian F4 champion in 2014, Toyota Racing Series champion 2015, F3 champion in 2016, and then signed for Williams in 2017. I mean, that's quite a CV. And yet still...
Thank you, Natalie.
Well, you don't have to thank me. You did
just,
it.
You just made my day a little bit brighter. by refreshing my memory.
Yeah, well, it's good to reflect. It's like, you know, you're still young, but you look back and you realise how much you've achieved in a short space of time.
Thank you.
And when you see all of that on paper, when you're reminded by people like me, how does it make you feel when people still say, well, he's only there because of his dad?
Yeah. Well, we should have these interviews more often then, so you can remind me. I mean, you know, it's always going to be there. I think it's, you know, it's just how it is. And I've, you know, come to that realization a long time ago already. And, you know, everyone has their opinion. And I just do my talking on the track. And you know, I try and stay in my own little bubble and block out the negativity and the outside noise. I think when you're, you know, successful at something, or, you know, you're trying to chase your dreams. There's some people in this world that if they're going through frustrations, and, you know, if they're envious in any shape or form, they try and, like, pull you down with them. And yeah, that's the world we live in. So there'll always be outside noise. There'll always be negativity. I just try and keep it positive, and you know, and listen to the people that, you know, that are close around me. That's ultimately all that matters. You can't please everyone. You can't be everyone's best friend in this world. It just doesn't work like that.
So when did you come to that realization?
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I think very early on in my first year at Williams, I realized very quickly that every time I would do bad or I would make a mistake, people would just trash me and just destroy me on the media and just, you know, in life as well, just, you know, friends and stuff, and not really friends, but people that I knew, you know. And then when I would do well, a lot of people were my best friend and, you know, friends of mine that I wasn't really so close with, all of a sudden, you know, you'd do well and they'd be your best friend. And as well in social media, you know, when I do well, it would all go quiet. All the hate and all the noise would just disappear. And then when I do bad again, it would all come back and it would all restart. So I saw that pattern very early. And to be honest, I mean, you know, you gotta laugh at it, because if you don't laugh at it, you feel like crying. So try and take it lightly, to be honest.
I mean, the reality is nepotism can only take you so far. And I've always maintained that, you know, from being in the sport and looking out, that it is a meritocracy. Once you're in, and it, you know, don't get me wrong, it is bloody hard to get into the sport, and there will always be accusations. Anyone in the paddock, you know, was it fair? How did you get in? You have to prove yourself once you're in. You get found out. I mean, you stick out like a sore thumb if you weren't talented enough, if you weren't quick enough.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had to win those championships. That's why there's the super license points in place, the 40 points that you must achieve by winning certain championships to get the points to compete in Formula One. Or else there'd be a lot of people without talent that could just buy their way in, and once they'd be in, they'd be awful. But I would like to think that I proved, you know, I proved myself leading up to Formula One and in Formula One to an extent. I know I've had my bad years in Formula One, and you know, I've had my struggles, but at the same time, there's been a lot of highlights in my eyes throughout my Formula One career, and you know. Yeah, I want to keep going. That's where my sights are set on the future.
Well, the future is looking bright, but let's just cast our minds back to the past for a bit longer, because you took up karting at sort of age 10. When did you get bitten by the bug? When did you think, actually, I could make a career out of being a racing driver? I know every young boy and girl hopes and dreams of that, but when did you think it was realistic?
Not until my later years of racing. You know, I was an adrenaline junkie growing up, and I was very competitive at a young age. So karting suited my needs. And so I dived into it at like 8, and I started racing from 8 years old onwards. But really only about the age of 16 years old, when I was in F3, 17 even, second year of F3, I started to look at Formula One as a real possibility. And until then, I loved racing, and I was, you know, and I was in a very fortunate position growing up, where I could afford racing, and you know, my father was there supporting me, and you know, my family were on board with me doing it. So it was an incredible opportunity, and I was extremely grateful to just have that opportunity to race and do what I loved for such a long time. And then when I was 16, 17, and I started to see some results in F3 and started to talk to some Formula One teams, I then realized that was kind of the path that I was going down.
Because you were part of the Ferrari Young Driver Program at a young age, weren't you, from about 2010?
I was, yeah. I was part of their academy. But that's, you know, at that age, you don't know, right? It was kind of more of a, I mean, it was serious. I was, you know, I was spending time there, and they were grooming me, you know, to an extent, like to hopefully one day become a Formula One driver. That was the goal. But I was, you know, I had that badge on my race suit, and that was, you know, most of it at that age. I was just going through, you know, the stepping stones of trying to get to where I am today.
I'd say that's a pretty cool badge to have on your race suit as a kid.
It was pretty cool. Kind of a kid's dream.
Did you ever feel like you missed out on anything? Was your childhood very different to those of your friends? Did you miss out going to parties and kissing girls?
There was a certain time of my life where I did feel like I was kind of missing out. Like from when I first moved over to Europe, I was 12 years old, and I was homeschooled for 3-4 years until I was 15 or 16, and then I went back to school for a year in Europe. And those 2-3 years, there was a lot of racing, and there wasn't much socializing going on. There wasn't a lot of interaction with other kids, because I was spending, you know, 25 weekends a year at a racetrack, and then the weeks I wasn't racing, I was testing, or I was, you know, I was, you know, just always busy, and racing was my life. So to an extent, yeah, there's always stuff you look back on and say, like, my God, you know, that could have been different, that could have been better. But, you know, there's pros and cons to everything, and in hindsight, I had an incredible opportunity that I grabbed with both hands, and you know, it's brought me to where I am today, and that's amazing. And there will always be pros and cons to everything in life, but you know, everything comes with a bit of a sacrifice. And then when I got to my later teens, you know, school started to kind of come to an end. And I mean, it was the fun picked up a little bit again. So there was a few years there when I first moved over. It was tricky, but I found my feet, you know, later on when I was about, you know, 15, 16. And it got much better then.
And you obviously grew up mostly in Canada. As you say, you came over here pretty young. Your mother is from Belgium. I mean, I know that you race under the Canadian flag, and I know that you would say that you're Canadian, but how much is there of the Belgian influence in your life?
For sure. It's a big part of my my blood. You know, I like a good waffle in the morning. my mom's from Belgium, and I have a big family in Belgium. Cousins and aunts, and Belgium's a big part of me.
I mean, they must have been so proud seeing you race at Francorchamps last weekend.
I look forward to having them at the race every year. They've been coming for the last few years, and this year, unfortunately, it's just not possible with COVID.
Yeah. And okay, so you missed out on various things, you know, as a kid, but it feels as if you're really close to your mum, dad, and sister. So do you feel that the journey that you've been on, you've done it together? It's almost cemented your bond as a family unit?
Absolutely. Everyone contributed towards my dream. Without them, I wouldn't be where I am today. Without my sister accepting to, you know, move over to Europe with me, none of this would have happened. Without my mom, my mother being on board with it, none of this would have happened. And without my father helping me out and supporting me all these years, none of this would have happened. So it's all thanks to them where I've come today.
And does Chloe ever say, "Hey, you, I've sacrificed a lot for you.
I can't." You owe me one. Yeah, all the time. for sure. I get her something nice for Christmas every year.
Bet you do. She's a singer, isn't she? How's her career going?
She loves her singing. Yeah, it's going good. She's singing. She's doing a bit of producing as well, and music. So she's in the music world, and yeah, she's doing her thing. Yeah,
that's great.
In the Pink and Bose want to support you in whatever way we can during these uncertain and constantly evolving times. So we're giving away more noise-cancelling headphones to bring some added calm to your life. To win the headphones, just tag in the three friends you're most looking forward to reconnecting with once lockdown is fully lifted. Always include the hashtag Bose, and those headphones could be yours. Good luck and stay connected.
I mean, you say that you obviously had to leave some friends behind, but it feels as if you've grown up with some of the racers on the grid. You know, as early as 2015, I mean, I know that's only 5 years ago, but that's a big chunk of time in terms of your career. You were racing against the likes of Giovinazzi, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Alex Albon, all outside of F1. And how has it been kind of coming through the ranks with those guys? Is it quite nice in a way that you've come into this sport as a new sort of tranche of young, exciting, very talented drivers?
For sure. You know, that's, when you look back at it, we were all racing together back in 2011. Wow. So, yeah, we were racing together back in karting. Charles, George.
Oh, I didn't know it was as long ago as that.
Yeah, it was as long ago as that. I didn't race Alex. I think he was a year above me. But I raced against George for quite a few years, and raced against Charles for a year. And then in F3, we all met each other again, and we raced together for a couple of years. George and myself. Charles Alex, I think, was only the first year of F3. But it's great. It's great to see all that, all that talent rise through the ranks. And it's amazing to see that we've all arrived in Formula One, and we're still going at it.
And how, where are you of how it sort of seems in the outside world looking in, is that there does feel like there's been a changing of the guard. You know, the older drivers, very talented, likes of obviously Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, but they're all getting older, and then this young, exciting generation are coming in and almost starting to take over.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the natural kind of wave that, you know, comes every few years. You see a new generation of drivers come into Formula One and kind of mark their territory. And, you know, I expect that to happen again. And who knows, 10 years time, I don't know. Sure, there'll be another big wave of drivers that will come in. They'll be great. I mean, that's just sport. And it's always guys that are younger and more prepared, and they come in and do great. That's how it is.
Constantly raising the bar, I suppose. But you know, I saw this picture of you with Massa and Alonso, and you looked so diddy in this picture.
I saw that picture. Yeah.
So cute. Anyone listening, you could Google this picture.
I was like, I'm gonna race against you one day. I'm gonna be your teammate one day.
Did you say that to them?
Yeah, he didn't take me too seriously back then when I said that.
Well, he should have done. Yeah. I mean, was there
quite a bit of baby fat on me still?
Oh no, it was a very sweet picture. But did you do you ever pinch yourself when you realise you have fulfilled your dream? You are alongside greats. I mean, Alonso's obviously coming back next year. You know, this is presumably a hero of yours at one point.
For sure. I mean, he's one of the sports biggest legends. I'm not someone that really stops and smells the roses too often, to be honest. My eyes are always just on what's next, like the future. Every now and again I do, and feels good to look back and reflect on the journey.
And the journey, where do you feel it's taking you? What do you feel is within your grasp this year, going into 2021? Do you set yourself goals?
For sure. I want to see us build on where we are this year, going into next year. I want to see us get better and challenge for podiums more often. That would be great. That would be great for the team. From my side, I try and just take it day by day. I know where I can be better and what I can do better as a driver, how I can improve. So I'm working on that. But at the same time, I want to enjoy where I am today and enjoy the present. I have an awesome car to drive this year. I'm working with great people. And, I like rolling out of bed and looking forward to the day ahead rather than obsessing too much about the future. There's so much to embrace and enjoy right now.
I mean, the future is looking exciting with Aston Martin coming back into the sport with you guys. How excited are you by that? And how much do you think it means for the sport to have such an iconic brand as Aston Martin?
For sure. Yeah, I'm extremely excited. It's such a historical motor car company, and they've achieved so much over the years in motorsport that to have them on our car next year will be, it'll be a great thing for the team. It will attract a lot of sponsorship, and it will just be a great name to have on the grid. And I think it'll only make the sport more exciting. The fans will love it, and I've always been a James Bond fan growing up, so. I guess a little 007 on the car would be pretty neat.
Nice.
Just to top it off.
The cherry on top of a very well-armed cake. And just away from F1, we saw your commitment to supporting the California firefighters with a donation. Just tell us why using your position and your fan base for such good causes means something to you, and you know, why is that course particularly one that stands out?
Well, I had a bit of time off that week, and I saw what was going on in California. And to be honest, I just woke up, and I wanted to take action and try and help. You know, and I have a platform and a voice where I can try and bring people together and make a difference. And that's all I wanted to do. I saw they were struggling out there, I wanted to make the most of my ability to make a difference, to contribute and help them out. That's it.
And what is the situation now? What's the latest?
Well, the fires were getting worse, but we raised a lot of money. We're up to 18,000. The goal was 50, but I didn't score enough points in Belgium. It's great to see that we've raised some money for the firefighters, and I really hope that I haven't touched base with them this week, but I hope that we've helped them with equipment and supplies and what they need to try and make the situation better out there.
That's great. Keep up the great work. Thank you for your time. I really hope it goes well this weekend. You know, never know. You can emulate that incredible quali of 2017. That'd be good.
I'll do my best.
Thank you so much, Lance. Thank you, Lance, for your time. And thank you, Racing Point, for organising it. Looking forward to seeing you pick up some more podiums, maybe even your first career win very soon. Okay, loads more great guests on the way on In The Pink, but let me remind you of that opportunity to win those Bose noise-cancelling headphones. All you need to do is tag in a couple of mates on my Instagram page or indeed the In The Pink podcast page and tell us who you've most enjoyed hearing from on this series and why, and add the hashtag Bose and they could be coming your way. What a lovely little present that would be. Thank you for your company. As I say, some more great guests coming very soon. But until then, I bid you farewell and I hope you stay well. Take care. Bye for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.